I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Friday morning, a week two football Friday. Got started off with an interesting game last night in Cincinnati. The Bengals jump out to a big lead. The Ravens try to fight back, but can't get there. The Bengals are 2-0, and as we focus on the teams here, the New York Jets try to go to 2-0 at home opener against the Dolphins, and of course a big matchup with the Giants and Cowboys on Sunday night. Here we are in the thick of things already in the NFL. It feels good. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing great, Gio. You know, last night there were about four or five injuries, though, to players. Short week, you know, big game, division game, and everything else. This is the thing that, you know, everybody always worries about. I think the Bengals lost their starting center. C.J. Mosley was out early in the game.
Yes, got carted off.
And then there were a couple other guys. I think Michael Johnson got carted off and walked off. I mean, so I don't know. We'll see what the walking wounded looked like for those two teams last night. But, you know, the Bengals are a team now, 68 points in two games. And, I mean, and they're moving the ball up and down the field. And A.J. Green is becoming A.J. Green again.
Yeah, three touchdowns in the first half.
And Andy Dalton looks great. He looks great. So maybe, I don't know, it's still early. We all know that. But the Bengals look like maybe one of those under-the-radar teams, right? Like, wow, you know, they're better than what people thought they would be. Or they just don't take them seriously because they haven't won a playoff game in 25 years.
Well, that's basically it. As you look around the AFC and you say, are the Bengals better than this team? Are they better than that team? Could you see them beating the Patriots in a big game? Marvin Lewis is still there. I mean, even the years that they went and won the division and went into the playoffs, they couldn't do that. So I think it's really, I mean, the Bengals would have to be, if the Bengals went 15-1, and headed into the playoffs as a one seed and a bye, I still think a lot of people wouldn't pick him to come out of the conference or maybe even win on divisional weekend just because of the history. And that's the things that a lot of franchises have to shake off. Sort of like the Jets. I mean, everybody wants to temper the enthusiasm. And yeah, it's just one game with Sam Darnold and this Jets team. But I mean, the history of the organization always plays into expectations regardless of the names changing. And we know how many names change each year in the NFL with these rosters.
You know, it was interesting watching that game last night and listening to Mike Pereira in the opening segment with Joe Buck talking about, you know, the rules and the emphasis of the rules and how the rules have changed. And he basically said that scoring is up. They wanted more offensive plays, and they wanted overall, and they wanted more points. And after the first week, even though it's only 1 week, scoring was up. And then last night you see a 34-23 game, scoring's up. And the Bengals now have scored 68 points in two games. So good for them. And I'll tell you, they're off to a great start. And that's exactly what every team wants. And that's why, you know, if you are the Jets this week, man, you got to win. You got to win at home. You just got to win at home. You got to beat your division rival. And you got to continue the momentum that you have going into game two. And then if you are the Giants, you know, all this nonsense going back and forth between Dak and, you know, Landon Collins, all nuts. You know, the media blows it up. Twitter blows it up and all that other crap. It's just, Landon's just being honest. He goes, look, we got to stop Ezekiel Elliott. He's the biggest problem that they have. And going back and watching last week against Dallas, against the Carolina Panthers, the biggest problem that Dak Prescott has, he is not setting his feet and throwing the ball accurately. I mean, there are guys open, and he's missing them, kind of like Eli missing Odell last week a couple times. You know, he's just not getting the ball to where it needs to be. And you know, his rookie year, he was terrific. He was a highly accurate quarterback. They had the big healthy offensive line. They had Jason Witten. They had Dez Bryant, and they were able to run with Ezekiel Elliott for 16 games. Now, you take a look at him last year when Zeke wasn't there, and then you take a look at him this year without Dez, without Jason. It's not the guys that he's playing with. It's him. And there's something going on with him, and I don't know what it is. And I know Troy was talking about the lack of creativity with their offense and all that other stuff. And Scott Linehan, then he has to get involved in it. Well, we got to make Troy Aikman eat his words, all this kind of stuff. I mean, at the end of the day, either the quarterback is going to be completing balls or he's not. And if you're throwing interceptions or you're misfiring and you're missing open people and you're throwing the ball to his feet, you don't have a chance to win. So the league is set up for offenses to really go out there and score a lot of points. But you still have to be an accurate thrower. And that's something that Dak Prescott has lacked since the middle of last year until that game last week. And that's why if you are Janoris Jenkins, Landon Collins, you are saying what you're saying. Because it's obvious to him on tape what he's seeing.
Right. There isn't a person out there that doesn't feel the same way that's evaluating this game with a brain. It's just the fact that Landon Collins puts on that uniform and you don't usually hear that type of criticism from a guy about an opponent heading into the week. But let's face it, both the Jets and the Giants are in a great position this week to win games. I know the Giants are not favored. They're underdogs on the road and it's whatever. It doesn't matter. And the Jets are because they're home. But, I mean, to me, this is a week where both of these teams can thrive because I look at their opponents and I know that the Dolphins had this weird 7-hour ordeal against the Titans and looked good at times. But, I mean, I'm not going to change my opinion on the Miami Dolphins just after that one game where they lost Mariota, Delanie Walker, and their left tackle all in the same game and then had a million rain delays and lightning delays at home. I still think the Jets are a better team than Miami. And I think the Giants are the better team than the Cowboys. And really what it's going to come down to in this game essentially is which one of these quarterbacks that did not play all that well in week one steps up and puts on a show in week two on national TV.
I would think that Odell Beckham Jr. should have a field day.
Yeah.
Should have a field day. Now, the big question is, how can they help Ereck Flowers? Because the one thing I will say that the Cowboys can do in that front seven is fast. They can get after the quarterback. They can get up the field. They have to help Ereck Flowers. I don't care how you do it. I don't care if you put another tight end over there. I don't care. You know, in football parlance, they say slide the line, and what that means is that means he can overplay a little bit so he doesn't have to worry about getting beat inside and all that other kind of stuff. Chip him with a running back coming out of the backfield. All the little things that you do to help a guy that may be struggling. Now, last week they played against an outstanding defensive line, and that defensive line is one of the best defensive lines in football, and they came out and they played like it. This week, it's a good defensive line. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's a great defensive line, but it is a fast group of players that you would see that an Ereck Flowers could have a problem with. So it's up to Pat Shurmur to devise something to go in there to help their right tackle. Because, look, you don't pay your left tackle as much money as you paid Nate Solder and have to help him.
Right.
You know, you're paying him as if you don't have to help him. You know, I had a guy like that by the name of Anthony Munoz. And I don't care what anybody says. When you have a great left tackle, it makes it easier for the other four guys. You know what I mean? But then when the other four guys get going and they're all big and they're all behemoths and they're all maulers, then you can get by. You are going to have a talented offensive line. So they have to help Ereck Flowers. There's no question about that, especially on the road in Dallas. And it's a huge – it's one of those pressure point games where both teams, you know.
Well, somebody's coming out of it 0-2. I mean, to start
right,
the season.
And I got to tell you, the Cowboys are going to be throwing everything at them. Why? Because, you know, believe you me, down there in Dallas, what are they hearing about? They're hearing about Dak.
They're
hearing about Jason Garrett. Hearing about, you know, we don't have a chance. I mean, the pressure is insane down there right now on this Cowboy team.
Well, especially those guys that you mentioned. I mean, the guys that still remain because Jason Witten's not there, Dez Bryant's not there. I mean, you're absolutely right. It's really all about Dak. I mean, the pressure.
And the head coach.
Sure. But I mean, I feel like the head coach, though, the expectations out of him aren't as great because you never said to yourself, boy, you know, Jason Garrett really looks like one of these game-changing head coaches. There was a point where Dak Prescott in that rookie season, he got his opportunity as well as he was playing. Wow, Cowboys found themselves another quarterback for the next decade.
It certainly looked like. And look, he was really good in college too. I don't know if he's just trying to be somebody he's not. I'm not close enough to the situation.
Well, I mean,
but
it's pretty obvious, right? I mean, think about it. The offensive line is as good as it was.
I don't want to hear that. I'm sick and tired.
And he doesn't have as many weapons.
Wait a minute.
Those are reasons why.
Look, if you watch the game on Sunday, you will see guys that are open, and he's throwing it at their feet.
Yeah, okay.
So
but
are you like,
is he under more pressure?
Your weapons that are supposedly missing are playing well. You know, and I actually read a whole article about the wide receivers of the Dallas Cowboys and how they're taking real umbrage to the fact that, you know, they can't get open when the ball is at their feet.
Yeah.
It's like a weird thing. It's an easy, you know, to paint a team or brush a team with, hey, he doesn't have offensive line. You know, we sat here last year and that's all we heard about with the Giants because the quarterback is struggling. You know, I understand that. But when you watch the tape and you watch guys that are open or you watch hesitation at the quarterback position, you know, you're going to get a performance like Dak gave you last week.
Well, I think here's the difference. There's some guys that can put up with adversity in those situations and still play really well, like Russell Wilson. And there's some guys who can't. And Dak Prescott is not Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson last year had one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. The team was horrendous. He was running around for his life all the time. People still don't know who he's throwing the ball to. Doug Baldwin got hurt, one of his main wide receivers. The guy's got no running game to speak of, but yet every single week he was trying everything he could and putting up big games because he's Russell Wilson.
Right. And now, because that's what a top quarterback should do.
Right, but that's my point, is the reason why we're seeing this from Dak Prescott is sometimes you take away that stuff from him and he's not as good. He's just not as good.
I'm just going back, you know, and I know there's the reality and there's perception, right? So the reality, I'm telling you, going back and watching it, he missed open guys, just flat out missed them. And even he said after the game, I don't know why I missed those guys. I don't know why. He didn't have an answer for it. You know, it's like when Derek Carr throws just the ugliest interception that you ever want to see. And you're like, and he goes to the sideline and he's mad at himself and he's throwing his helmet down. And after the game, he's saying, you know, I'm bad, man. I'm not going to get sleep tonight because I don't know why I did what I did. There's no explanation for it other than he was nervous or playing fast or whatever. And, you know, what's amazing is like a quarterback like him should never make a mistake like that. I mean, I understand at the end of the game, you're going to heave one down the field, maybe to try to win one, get a Hail Mary or something like that. But in the body of the game, you know, it's like being a starting pitcher. It's relentless, right? The playing quarterback's relentless. You just got to keep going and going and going and going. And no matter how many interceptions you throw, no matter whatever the bad plays are, you got to have a reliever's mentality, a closer's mentality, a goalie's mentality. You got to forget it. And you got to go and go and go and go and go.
Well,
and
not everybody can be Broadway Sam, Boomer. You know, not everybody is built like Sam Darnold, both mentally, physically, emotionally. Not everybody can throw that pick six and then come out and have an NFL debut on the road like that.
But whatever, like, you know, Drew Brees and Tom Brady and I would say Aaron Rodgers, those three guys, whatever they do week in and week out for preparation, both physically and mentally, is really what everybody else should be trying to get to.
Sure.
Because every week, those guys are playing their asses off. Every week. And, you know, you have these inconsistent performances week in and week out by everybody else. The other 29 teams or so all have inconsistent performances. It's unbelievable. It's up and down, up and down, up and down. But for some reason, Rodgers, Brees, and Brady are the three guys that every week give you a chance to win.
Well, I think those guys are all very different, right? Because I look at Drew Brees and Tom Brady as guys who have to work so hard because of their age, too. So hard every single week to keep it at this level. I look at Aaron Rodgers, a guy I know who works hard, but he's so talented.
Physically gifted.
I mean, it's unbelievable the stuff that he could do on a football field. He can go get that knee injury, get carted off, come back, hopped up on pain pills, so much so that his post-game news conference, basically it sounded like he was drunk after that, and come back and win that game.
Yeah.
I mean, so like, you know, I'm not saying Brees and Brady aren't talented. Of course they are. But they're at an age now where like every little thing that they put into their bodies, I mean, it counts in the preparation and trying to play your 40s, you know?
The amazing thing about Drew Brees is he's dealing with plantar fasciitis tears in his feet and everything else. And he just keeps going out there and keeps doing what he does. And he's listed at 6 foot, you know, and he's got to go out there and navigate the pocket. And he's got it. He understands it. You know, it's interesting. Ryan Fitzpatrick yesterday, did you see what he said?
I did not, no.
Ryan Fitzpatrick yesterday, and I love this because this is who he is as a player, right? And he says, I am better now than I've ever been before in my career.
Wow.
He goes, mentally, I see things. I'm in an offense that really, you know, accentuates who I am. He goes, I am better now than I've ever been. I mean, that's after one game and 400 yards and four touchdowns, right?
Right. Now he got the Eagles this week, right?
Now he got the Eagles coming in this week.
We'll see how he feels about that.
That could all change. But It's amazing. You know, like, I think that it is with Brady and Breeze that they see everything on the field. You can't fool them. You can't, you know, disguise anything. They know exactly what's going on. And they may lose games, but they always put up big numbers.
Yeah.
Always.
Right. No, absolutely. It's going to be a really fascinating couple of the matchups this week to see how these week one performances reflect, especially with the Saints, too. I mean, that defense was so damn bad. Now they got the Browns. We'll see how that works out. But, you know, really, all the things that the Jets did well, coming home, everybody reading the press clippings, Sam Darnold, Broadway Sam, the Jets are this.
They have to do what the Bengals did last night.
Right.
They have to back it up. Follow
they
it up against the division foe in your building. Exactly that. And I'll tell you the other thing. The one thing about Dak Prescott's ascending to the starting position, it made the loss of Tony Romo a little bit more palatable, right? Because, we got our guy that's going to change him, and Tony obviously got the offer at CBS and all that other stuff, and then he had the back injury. And the reason I talk about the back injury is because we found out yesterday that most likely David Wright's going to play one more game in a Met uniform.
Yeah.
And in a teary press conference, for me, who is a Met fan, I've always appreciated David Wright. You know, David Wright was a great player when he was healthy. When he was younger, he was a clutch player. He would get a clutch hit. He would, you know, drive in a clutch run. And then, unfortunately, and for as the athlete side of me, I feel bad for him, because his body basically failed him. And it was just – and there's nothing you could do about it, you know, whether it be a shoulder, a knee, a back, stenosis, all the things that he has dealt with over the last 2.5 years. People don't understand how much time and effort he's put into trying to get back on the field and trying to be the player that he once was. And it's hard for all of us as athletes to say it's over, you know. And I think we heard that yesterday, even though he couldn't mention the R word, retirement, because he does still have 2 years left on his contract.
And he wants to get the money, of course.
Well, of course he wants to get the money. Now, at the end of the day, he's the second best overall Met player in my eyes.
You're talking about position player?
Well, he's the best position player, but overall, obviously, Tom Seaver is the guy. I don't want to talk about Piazza. I don't want to talk.
Well,
you know
why not?
And I'll tell you why. Because he's a homegrown Met. He started with the Mets, and he's ending with the Mets. So there's something to be said about the longevity and the fact that he played for one team and never put another uniform on and didn't have a uniform on before he came to the Mets. So, look, it's up for debate. If people want to talk about, you know, Piazza and Gary Carter or Daryl Strawberry, I understand. But David Wright will always be a Met, only be a Met. And to me, that carries a lot of weight. And it's unfortunate that what happened to him, there's nothing you could do. He didn't do drugs. He didn't, you know, wasn't, you know, there's no domestic violence. None of that crap. He's always been the face of the Mets and somebody that Met fans could be proud of. And I am too. Now, the other part of me says, you know, I don't feel sorry for him from the standpoint that when it's all over said and done, he'll have made almost $200 million
right. He's going to collect just about every penny on this contract.
And he should. All athletes should.
Yeah,
if you got hurt, you should. I'm sorry.
No, I know. And that's great for him. Right. Absolutely. And it's not like anybody had any idea it was going to be this bad. He'd be out for this long. And, yeah, I mean, yesterday was a tough day for him. Of course, it's going to be really, really emotional on that Saturday against the Marlins. I'm just happy, though, that the Mets finally were able to do the right thing in one of these situations, because we were talking, because earlier this was not even on the table. I mean, John Rico said in a conference call a couple weeks ago how you're not going to see David Wright at all. You weren't going to see Peter Alonso. So I think they really ended up changing their mind, and David Wright was able to convince him, or convince Jeff or somebody. I'm just happy that is happening, because this should be happening, right?
They also have to convince the insurance company, they also, there's money involved here too. There's a lot of money involved.
Well, whatever. It's still ending up doing the right thing.
I always say, I know it's always easy to spend somebody else's money. Oh, just give him the money. Just give him the money. You know, and I want him to get the money because he got hurt playing baseball. He got hurt doing what he loves to do, and the Mets invested in him. And for the most part, there was a return on the investment. There wasn't a great return on the investment, but you know, he grew up a Met and he goes out a Met. And to me, there is something that is special about that for somebody who played for three different teams. And I appreciate everything that he did when he was at his best. And I also appreciate the struggle that he went through to try to get back to be the best.
Yeah, I also think there's something that's been going on in this organization now. I really think they're trying to turn the page on a lot of things. Like, for example, this is one of them. All right, let's now finally move on from the David Wright thing and not have to worry about that any longer. Jay Horowitz now moving into another place in the organization to get another head of PR. You know that they're going to get a new general manager in there. They're not going to keep one of these guys in the stable of GMs that has kept this thing together. This seems like Cespedes, go get the surgery, get out of here for a year. We don't want to deal with this nonsense anymore. I really do believe that there is a conscious effort to wipe out some of this other old Mets stuff and try to move on with a fresh start next year, and I hope that it works. But really, it comes down to one thing. Who is the guy who's going to be running the team? Who are you hiring as a general manager? And if you make the right call there, then the Mets are going to be successful. If you bring in a boob, then we're going to be sitting here and dealing with another decade of disappointment. So this is one of the most important hires that they've had in a very, very long time, especially the way that general managers run teams nowadays and how much influence they have.
All right, it is 6:20, and it is a Football Friday here on The Fan. All your calls regarding Sam Darnold and the Miami Dolphins. How about Eli Manning, Odell Beckham Jr., and the Giants. And then, of course, the Yankees got a little sliver of good news as Buck Showalter did them a favor last night.
Right. It's
as
about
the
time.
Baltimore Orioles came away with a win over the A's. So there you have it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.